So, first of all, thank you for coming to the show. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
I know you and Jen drove for Riverside. You run a company called Multi-Housing District Patrol.
Yes.
In Riverside. I've known you for 10, 15 years, maybe even longer. When I had Silver Truck, obviously. So I appreciate you guys coming in. Jen, we're going to talk to you, your wife. She's the owner of the company, right? You're both owners.
Yes.
But it's a woman-owned business. And I love Jen. I love the way she manages. I love the way she operates. So I wanted to separate it versus having her side by side. But I do want to talk to you because we were on the phone quite a bit. But the podcast, people love to know, where do you come from? Where did you grow up? What'd your family do? If you don't mind sharing, brothers, sisters, to how you got into the business, if you could share that.
You got it. I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, lived in a trailer park between Western and Normandy on 190th Street, Gardena, California. My sister has a different view of it than me. It was pretty bad. I was always in trouble. Didn't go to school a lot, but ran into a couple of people in law enforcement that set me straight and say, hey, look, if you show me your friends, I can tell you where you're going in life. He goes, if you want to be a doctor, hang out around doctors. If you want to be a cop, hang around cops. If you want to be a thug, hang around thugs. And he goes, that's where you're going to go. And it kind of stuck with me. He says, well, so where do I want to be in life? And I remember my 18th birthday, which is funny, big birthday, you know, big thing. And I wound up putting a terrorist in jail because he came over and he was trying to sell me hand grenades for my motorcycle. And I said, what? I said, he lived in the trailer park with me. I'm like, yeah, whatever. So I told my brother, I said, hey, I go, this guy's trying to sell me hand grenades. He goes, what? So we called LAPD at the time, and they came out, and they wound up arresting this guy, found all kinds of money inside his refrigerator. He had maps of the Coliseum. It was during the 84 Olympics. And so he had plots to do this. So that was my first interaction with law enforcement. I thought, man, this is great. But as a kid, divorced family, and my dad lived in the Whittier area. My mom lived in the LA area. So two different counties. And so I'd always spend a lot of time with my dad, but he owned the security company. So I remember sitting in the car as a little kid and driving around with them at night, doing building searches. And I was always hanging out with them, meeting with the deputies and stuff at night. It was really, wow, this is so great. And then my uncle, you know, he was out there. And so it was like a family thing. I thought, this is so great, you know? And as years went by, you know how it is when you're working with family, me and my dad just couldn't see eye to eye on anything. At one point, I was running his whole company for him, and he would just come down on Friday and fire everybody. I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, because I'd tell him I'd had a couple of problems. And I said, look, but I took care of it. He goes, oh, okay, cool. And I'd go get some lunch. I come back. He goes, hey, you need to hire some people for this. I go, I already got a cover. He goes, oh, no, I fired him. I go, Dad, it's Friday night. You can't fire people on a Friday night. I go, what'd you fire him for? He goes, you got to show him who's the boss. I go, you just can't discipline him. I go, Dad, you can't do that. The whole day is going by. He goes, hire him. I go, nope. He goes, we'll call him back. I'll never forget this. I called back a good friend of mine. He worked there. My dad fired him. And I say, hey, can you come in tonight? I go, my dad said he just wanted to teach everybody a lesson. He goes, oh, okay. And he goes, tell your dad I'm not coming back and tell him that's his lesson. I was like, wow. And we were doing all the Tommy Burgers at the time. I mean, we had like 20 locations of Tommy Burgers. And those things were gang infested at the time. Drive-by shootings every night there. And it was just off the hook. And now I'm half staff. I'm like, how am I going to do this? And that was with my dad's company. But go back a little bit. When he first started, it was in the 70s. And all you needed was a PPO. You didn't need a guard card. You didn't need a gun permit. You didn't need a baton. My dad had 275 guns in a locker. And people would come to work. He had a gun, a baton, a flashlight, and all their keys and everything, had all these cars because he bought the company. It was a full operational company. And when he first started, it was what he say was only 200 security companies in the state of California at the time. Now, what is it? Riverside's got 30,000 companies and growing. When they took the test, they had to go to Sacramento because they only gave it out twice a year. And you had to go to Sacramento to take the test. And now they give it out Monday through Friday at 40, 50 different locations in California. You just walk in and give you three chances to get it. And back in the day, if you failed, you had to wait almost a year to take it again.
Wow.
And so things have changed now. It's got a lot easier to get a PPO. And jump forward into the future here, I was just telling Jennifer the other day, I go, I had a guy come in. I go to come to work, and he had a PPO license. And I asked her, well, how come you don't do your own business? Because I just can't get started. I don't have the money. I don't have the funding. I go, you know, I can't work you, right? He goes, why? I go, you have a PPO. I go, you're a qualified manager. Because so if you do something wrong, it's falling under management. I go, I can't. You don't even have a guard card. You can't technically work for me. I go, you need to start your own company or go back and get your guard card. He goes, are you serious? And I go, it's not the first time. And that's how, and I'm skipping forward a few times here, but go back to where my dad's company was. I finally couldn't work for him anymore. We just butted heads on everything. He was just a real rough guy. And I think the straw maker was is we had a real good client. His last name was Siegel. And he owned a shopping center. He owned a Springer shopping center. He was a really rich guy, really nice guy. And they went on vacation. And my dad wanted to get paid. And the guy goes, I want to get back. And my dad tells this guy, I never forget it. And this was the help that for me to say, you know what, Dad, I'm done. He tells this guy, you know, back in the old days, if you do this, I'd bust your kneecaps with a baseball bat. And I was like, Dad, I go, who's that? And he says, Sandy Siegel was his name. And I go, oh, my God. So I immediately get on the phone after my dad. I go, Sandy, I go, dude, when you get back, let me talk to you. I go, please. He goes, your dad. He just said, you guys are done. I go, dude, trust me, from this day on, you won't talk to him no more. And no matter what I did to this client, he said he would never work with us again. He goes, you're a good guy. He goes, but your dad's just off the hook. He goes, I've never had anybody threaten to break my kneecaps before. And he goes, he was a scary thing. He goes, I think he will. I go, yeah. I go, no, he won't. Because he's an old Sicilian, you know, Italian guy, grew up in Jersey growing up, you know what I'm saying? He's one of those looks like the mafia guy. And when he said something, he most likely probably meant it.
This is your dad.
This is my dad, yeah. Yeah. And so at that point, I went home, talked to Jennifer. I said, look, I go, I can't do this no more. I go, put my heart and soul into the company, and he never pays me on time, never does anything. He bewilders me all the time in front of the guys. I need to open up my own company. And so I partnered up with another guy. And we got going. We got our first account. It was in Norwalk. I can't think of the name of the place, but it was an apartment complex. We knew the manager there. Her name was Deborah. But for some reason, is it Casa de Monterey or something like that?
But it's so funny when you mention stuff like that, because that's where I was too. When I had my company back in the day, I was all over LA, all over Orange County. It's just it's an ongoing cycle with security companies. But obviously, you were way before. What year was that when you started, when you switched over?
Late 80s.
Was it? Okay.
Late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, so you started before me.
Yeah, and it was, so we started with apartment complexes, and the manager was really good. She hooked up with all of her friends. She really liked us. My mother-in-law lived in the complex. That's how we knew her. She said, you guys get your license. You guys are golden. So we got our license, and the next role was getting insurance. Like, whew. You talk about coming out of pocket. A startup company back then was close to $30,000. That was getting cars, uniforms, getting state license, insurance, workers' comp. And even though the two owners were the only employees, we had no employees, and we can't be covered by workers' comp because we're owners. But yet we had to get workers' comp or we couldn't go on the property regardless. I was like, wow. So my partner at the time got married to a doctor. And I'm like, wow, good, great. You know what I'm saying? He had the attitude, I don't need to work no more. I'm married to a doctor. So it was, you go out and work the field. You go out and do sales. I want 50% of the business, but I'm not going to do anything with it. And I'm like, no, bro, it was supposed to be a team. I go, I can't do it all by myself. He wouldn't do it. We argued a few times, and we always said, because we were good friends, I met him doing loss prevention. And later on in the interview, you're going to understand why this partnership was such a good thing for us at the time. But we didn't want to ruin our relationship over a business thing. So we mutually agreed that we'd separate, split the business. He goes his way, I go my way. So I started my own thing. My uncle held my license at the time. My dad was upset about that because he was holding his license too.
Sure.
But I had to wait because I didn't want to lose the business waiting on taking the test. So I went out and did my own thing. I started growing, boom, 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 and picking up business. And I always say I cut my teeth on nightclubs, Hollywood. I had it locked down. I had almost every club in Hollywood at one point. And my niche was I had a bunch of guys who used to do funeral escorts, motor guys. And I remember the biggest problem they had was clearing out parking lots. The police department was on all the clubs saying, hey, look, we're spending 2 or 3 hours trying to clear out your parking lots. You guys need to do something. So I went over there and met with a guy from one of my motor guys. He says, hey, let me introduce you to this guy. He does a couple of clubs. And I sat down with them and said, what do you need? And he explained to me, because we're having problems. LAPD's finding us now because our club's closed, but yet the parking lots are still full. People still partying. So I talked to my motor guy, and I explained to him, and I explained to the club. I said, this is what we can do. And so we went out there, and at this point, we had 25 clubs that was pretty much given to us overnight, and it was on the strip. So I went and blocked off a few streets with motor guys and had everybody on the boulevard exiting onto the freeway. And I remember the sergeant came out and said, who are you guys? What are you doing? Why are you blocking off our streets? And then the watch commander came over, and they were mad. You can get all your guys over here. You guys can't do that. And I said, look, I talked to the watch commander and the sergeant. I go, how many hours you guys spent out here tonight? He goes, 2 to 3 hours going out to the parking lot. I said, I can do it in 30 minutes. If not, I'll pull my guys off. You never see us again. I go, but I got to block these streets off. And now this, I'm sweating. I'm like, oh my God, can we do this? And I got everybody together. I go, look, we got 30 minutes to get everybody out of these clubs. And the first night, 35 minutes, cleared them all out. And he goes, how'd you do it? I go, we blocked off all the streets. I go, we didn't give them a chance to turn back around and keep coming down the street and pulling into parking lots. So we had all the guys blocking off the entrances to the parking lots, had the main streets where they couldn't flip around, and the only way to get back here, they had to go a 3-mile turnaround when they got on the freeway. I go, so they're not going to come back. And I go, and 30 minutes later, it was cleared out. He goes, you can do this every weekend. And I go, thank you. And then we did it for probably about 3 or 4 years. Never had a problem. 30 to 40 minutes, we'll have all the parking lots cleared out with my motor guys and everything else. But I told my wife, I go, it's club work. It's not a lot of money there. I go, it's weekend work. It's weekend warriors. I had a notepad with probably 50, 60 numbers in it. I call people every Monday. Hey, guys, you're going to work this weekend. I need you guys. And it got to the point where I'm going now. I'm going into Beverly Hills, doing the Hard Rock Cafe, just all kinds of stuff. We're picking up the Gate Club. I don't know if you know that. It's an exclusive African-American club where you have like the Clippers, the Lakers, African-American movie stars. It's the Gate. And I didn't do the security in there, but they knew we did parking lot. So they hired us to do the parking lot. But one of the guys that would sell watches off of Rodale Drive contacted us and said, hey, look, me and my son are selling watches here. And they're selling these Rolex for $500,000 watches. So we have two armed guards walking these guys through the club while they're selling watches to all these actors and basketball players, making good money. So we'd go in there, spend a couple hours with them, come back out, drop them off, and then call tonight, and he'd give us cash. So everything, but like I told Jennifer, I go, it's just cash. We're not making a lot of money.
Yeah.
We're not making our bills. And then when the clubs were going south, we were like, hey, we didn't make a good money. Can we pay you next week? So I took the opportunity to sell the business, the club business, to another guy that was down there. I don't think I should mention his name because I don't know if he wants me to or not.
Yeah.
Really good guy. We started at the same time. So he took the opportunity to pick it all up. And he lost it all in the first 3 months. Yeah. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do what I could do.
Yeah.
So my forte at this point was I started doing distressed properties, gang infested, drug infested, just Section 8, you name it.
Let's go back. I want to go back. Let's go back a little bit. Interesting story where you started from the club. It's really interesting because it's weird how we start the business in the very beginning, because when we get our license, we hit the street, really don't know where to go, what to do. You know, your family, your father was in the business, so you had a general idea on the work that he did. And it's funny, you end up following their steps, right? So it's more commercial properties, and you get this opportunity to go do club and parking and all that. So you join with your father. It doesn't work out with your father.
Correct.
You stay with your father. You have that issue. You decide to venture out. And you have that partner who eventually was married to the doctor. So right. That's kind of like the second business, or was it the original one?
It was the second business.
Okay.
Because that's why it was the first one.
Okay.
So
from there, then you get into the third business. There's a third business that you're doing?
There's probably, I think we looked at it this morning, it's one, two, three, four different ventures in the industry.
Yeah. And you were doing primarily multi-housing?
We're doing housing projects, apartment complexes, to shopping centers, wherever they had a distressed property at. Most of these properties in San Bernardino at the time were all defunct anyways. They were going down. A lot of them were already tore out, and they got new buildings there now anyways.
So a lot of HUD properties?
A lot of HUD, like Section 8. Yeah. I got to know, I was having meetings with the SWAT team, the gang units, the narcotics units, all this stuff. I knew all the shot callers. We'd go into these properties, and the first thing we'd do is I'd have like 5 cars parked around the corner, and me and three other guys would show up in two cars, one two-man car and one single car. And we'd see all these gang members and we'd approach them. Who's the shot caller here? Who's the guy? And I go, hey, I go, well, I can talk to you right here and I'm going to embarrass you in front of all your guys, or we can go over here and I can talk to you. And I tell him, hey, look, this is what's going to happen. I go, we're taking over the property. New sheriff in town, we're going to clean this property up. I go, you can either be part of the program or you don't have to be. I go, we're going to be here so many hours. Don't goof around while we're here. Don't be gambling in the streets. Don't be open. Oh, man. But I go, look. I go, you don't believe me. Boop, get on the radio. Hey, guys, roll in. Five cars will roll up, two-man cars. They're like, oh, you guys ain't playing. I go, we can put you on the hood. And I go, I tell you what, from the movie Colors, I go, I'll put $50 in your front pocket. Hey, say thanks for the information while I jam your homies up. I go, I'll put you on the spot right now, dude. You're going to work with us or you're not. And it worked. We'd clean up these properties. We'd go in really strong in the beginning. The bad thing when you do that is you clean them up really quick. Management goes, oh, we don't want to pay this high price no more. We're going to go to another company. Mm-hmm. And they do it all the time. But they'd call us back. And I say, now my price has doubled. You want me to clean it up? Now I have to clean up twice as much match. Yeah. Because they know as soon as I clean it up, they're going to get rid of you guys.
Yeah.
So we'd go in there and we'd clean up every time. And one night I had this property for 18 years, really ghetto property. It was 10 city blocks. It was just, it wasn't apartments. It were condos, four condos per building. And it was all Section 8. And shootings, murders, drug overdoses, fights all the time. We were tied up there one night when a pursuit terminated, turned into an officer-involved shooting with the San Bernardino Police Department. We were first on scene backing these guys up. And we got caught up in their containment for almost 14 hours because it was a rolling crime scene where the drive-by happened, where it ended, and then another officer-involved shooting on our property. And I looked at Jennifer on Mother's Day. There was a murder. Some guy from Compton City Crypt came down, and he was talking crap. And strike midnight, Mother's Day, this guy we called F5, crazy guy, always, every time he came to the complex, he would just destroy it. And he came up to this dude and, like an idiot, put his hand and fired through his hand and shot this guy in the head, DNA all over this guy. Kills him on Mother's Day. And one unit shows up. I go, what's going on? I go, it's a crime scene. He goes, it's all we got available right now. I go, you got to be kidding me. That's how bad San Bernardino was at the time. I think it was just before they went bankrupt.
So, all right, so let me ask you. No wonder your blood pressure's got to be through the roof.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you, why didn't you make a change?
Oh, I did.
I did. But for its change, you did this for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And I know you get stuck.
18 years doing distressed properties. No money in it, by the way. No money. They pay you the least and want the most service. And it was mainly for the action, I guess. All the guys that were working for me were armed. They wanted the action, former military or in the military or ex-law enforcement. They wanted the action. They wanted to be where the action was. They didn't want to sit at a front desk making good money but doing nothing. They couldn't stay idled. But there was no money in these projects. It took me 18 years to figure that out.
Yeah, because, I think everybody had started at one time or another. I did the same thing in the beginning. But so really you're pretty lucky. If you think about it, if you're doing it for 18 years, those type of properties, the shootings that you're involved in, the stuff, that's going to be a no-brainer.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I get it. The payment, yep, for sure. They're not going to pay you. You can't even get a decent property times to pay you on time. I'm not saying that's everybody, but you took some high risk for 18 years.
Vision Insights is the simplest, most powerful security guard management software. No long training, no complicated systems. Guards can start reporting in minutes. Train your teams with micro trainings, attaching video to individual checkpoints to walk them through sensitive procedures. Submit accurate reports every time with dynamic observations that automatically rewrite, categorize, and prioritize, removing human error. And grow your business with daily, monthly, and quarterly insights, the most advanced reports available today. Vision Insights, the simplest, most powerful way to report.
Your wife, Jim, was involved in the business. I'm going to want to talk to her in a minute and kind of get her side. But what are you going to do? Are you still doing distressed properties? Are you trying
to look? No, I got away from all of that. I only got like one armed officer working for me now.
Okay.
It was a hard turn because it was different. It was a different pace.
Yeah.
I got involved with a lot of city work because they pay on time. So a lot of city work, a lot of county works now, unarmed posts, working high-rise buildings and stuff. I took a different path because now we're looking at active shooters instead of actually shootings, from gang-infested drive-bys all the time to where, hey, somebody might walk in distressed and start shooting the place up. So all these, everything sort of changed. I had to revamp everything I was doing, went to unarmed. But to go back real quick, my first partner, he lost everything. His wife quit her job and all this stuff from being a doctor to nothing. He came to work for me. We're pretty far away from distressed properties now. We're working in the Rancho Cucamonga area. We're working this one-story apartment complex. I mean, they look like condos, very nice, very well-groomed property right next to the courthouse. And they've got a little shopping center in there. They got the Domino's Pizza, the management company's there, liquor store. He gets off his other job. He's, like I said, he's working his own business still, but he's, like, losing everything. I talked to him the night before it happened, and we were good friends. He was my partner, and we knew each other before we were business partners. I watched his kids grow up. He watched my kids grow up. I was there when one of his kids was born. He was family, and we were like brothers. Brothers will fight, and brothers will get back together. And I talked to him the night before. He says, hey, I'm going out on surgery. You're going to work here tomorrow. I said, yeah. He goes, but he goes, Robert, I got to tell you. He goes, this is my third surgery on my back. He goes, I'm done after this. He goes, I'm going to have surgery. I'm retiring. I'm going to move up north where my family is. I'm like, so that's it, huh? He goes, yeah. So we talked for 3 hours that night, talked about how we started, laughed about things, how we met and all this stuff. And it was just one of those three-hour talks that you wouldn't think you'd ever have with somebody. And he calls me the next day. He goes, hey, Robert, they canceled my surgery next week, so I'm good for this week. I'm like, cool. He goes to work that night. Everything's good. He goes to the liquor store to get something to drink. Walks up. He sees one of the owners outside. He's like, he's pointing inside the store. He's like, what's going on? He's walking in the store like, what are you doing out here? He couldn't say, hey, we're being robbed. And as soon as he walked in the front door, a guy starts blasting him. Bloom, 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 bloom. It was an armed robbery going on in there. And he gets everything in the vest, runs around his car, collapse. He get hit in the vest regardless of one round, but he got six times in the vest, took the wind out of him, still alive, no major damage because everything got caught with the vest. The gangbanging thug in there walks out, walks through the park lot, stops, lights up a cigarette, walks back, reaches down and steals his gun, walks away, kills him. I get a call from Deputy Rose at 12:30 at night. Hey, Robert's Deputy Rose. I go, yeah, I know this guy. Okay, hey, what's going on? He goes, hey, do you have a Dean Center working for you? I go, yeah. He goes, was there an incident tonight? And I go, oh, what did he do? I'm thinking he did something. That was, Dean was always doing something. And he goes, well, he got injured. I'm like, oh, okay. I go, how bad is the injury? Where's he at? He goes, oh, he didn't survive his injury. And the first thing I said, the liquor store, because I knew there was a string of liquor store robberies going on. And Dean knew that too. But he figured because it was in the property, that property wouldn't get hit. And I go, he didn't survive. He goes, yeah, he didn't survive. We got him in the hospital. He didn't survive his injuries. So I go out there. I'm distraught. Jennifer's with me. My son's with me. He's working. I got half my crew out there mad as hell that we had just lost an officer. And the only thing I think, I got to tell his wife. I got to tell his wife. So I tell the detectives. I go, I need to talk to his wife. She goes, don't talk to him until we're done. They didn't know what it was. They didn't know it was a murder for hit. They didn't know it was a liquor store robbery. They didn't know anything. The guy that kills him does an interview with the news out there. And the liquor store owner goes, I know this guy. He comes here and cashes his paychecks all the time. I know who he is. He lived in the same complex. And he was robbing all the stuff. And what it was is him and his wife were on rough times. And they had to feed their kids. So he's robbing liquor stores at night.
So the guy that killed him is doing an interview?
Yeah, with the news.
With the news.
I hope the officer's okay. But you know how it is when you approach people with guns. You better be willing to die. And you just give this bullshit interview. And we had already knew who he was. Now we already had a photograph of him. And when his face popped up on the news, I called it. I go, this dude just did an interview. They had a warrant to search his apartment that morning. Before the warrant was given, he jumps into a car and they follow him all the way to Upland. And then as soon as they got the warrant, they pull the car over. They find my partner's gun inside the car. He had a snake bite on his hand from the automatic that he was using, which was DNA on the weapon that he used. He also had a shell casing stuck in his boot. They never took out, they found, and he goes in there and admits to everything once he gets him into custody, that how he did it and why he did it and all this other stuff. And then he recants everything. That took 6 years to put him in prison for the rest of his life. And 6 years,
man. Yeah. It's a long time.
It was such a relief to find this guy. Finally got justice.
Yeah.
We wanted the death penalty, but his wife said, no, I want him to sit in jail and think about what he did the rest of his life. And then he tried to get placed close to his family, his kids. His kids were taken from him because they arrested his wife for being an accomplice, but she had outstanding warrants up in Washington. And so she did 2 years up there in some jail up there. And when they walked out, San Bernardino PD, or San Bernardino Sheriff's arrested her for being a part of the killing of my officer. And now she's doing 25 to life. So his kids are in CPS or something. Our grandparents got them or something. But he wanted to be close to his family. And I says, no, I'm going to put you as far away as I can. He goes, this guy's never going to come back. We're not going to. So he gave him they charged him twice. And I didn't understand this because they charged him for robbing the liquor store and doing great bodily injury during the robbery. And then they got him for premeditated because he lit a cigarette up and walked back and shot him and killed him. So they got him for premeditated. So they gave him two life sentences, and they're not to be together. They're supposed to be, once he finishes one, they'll make his other sentence kick in.
My God, so, have you ever thought about doing just kiddie parties? That's what I do, Robert. If I were you, I'd just do kiddie parties. I'm exhausted already just hearing your story. So, I mean, the up and down, and then you continue to go down that route. And
that's where the guy steps in, the deputy that owned a security company, went after my wife, said that we're going to put her in jail for murder. She killed her employee. Even though she didn't pull the trigger, she put him into harm's way and just kept going after her. He personally went out of his way and called BSIS and gave him all the information that he was supposed to be given on an active investigation. And I couldn't figure out who this guy was. And then one of my tow truck guys told me, he's a deputy sheriff. He's the one who's doing all this dirt on you. So I contacted the detectives and I contacted the watch commander. He said, no, this is not going to happen. From what I understand, he's been let go, no longer deputy, no longer has a security company. What he was, it was totally unethical. He was doing it for his own benefit, using the sheriff database to get someone in trouble. Once again, know what you don't know. I had an attorney that one of my friends says, you need to talk to this guy. And all he does is the bureaus for lawyers that have been disbarred and security companies that are when people are coming out, when the bureau's coming after them. And we got this guy. He goes, you know what? Let's call. He picks up the phone while we're in his office. He goes, hey, so I got this client of mine sitting in my office, and they say that you're wanted for murder. What? Who said this? And he goes, that's not true. He goes, we have an investigator on it. He goes, the investigator called my client, said he's going to have her disbarred and have her arrested for murder.
Your wife?
Yeah. And he goes, hang on. And now my wife's freaking out. I'm going to prison. And so he goes, hang on. He goes, no. He goes, so the investigator got canned because he was working with the deputy.
Robert,
just snakes in the grass, man. Know what you don't know, man.
I'm telling you, I'm sitting here hearing your story and everything else, and I remember watching soap operas when I was a kid. I thought they all died, but this was a hell of a soap opera.
Yeah.
I'm going to end it right there, if you don't mind, and I'm going to bring Jen in, and if Jen's open to it, Jennifer's open to it, and have her kind of finish off the story here.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Appreciate you sharing what you shared. You have definitely, you guys, or especially, you've been in this industry for a very long time.
Been through the gauntlet.
And the only thing I can say, we got to get out of those properties. I know you said you have.
Oh, we have. Yeah. We're definitely 100% out of them already.
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. There's more money, and I hate to say this, there's more money in unarmed security than there is armed right now.
Yeah, armed is, it's.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, you got to be very careful because they defunded the police, and the police, it's hard to get even a police officer anywhere. And then from what you tell me, that particular area has a problem responding or handling things correctly.
Yeah, I tell everybody right now, body cams.
Yeah.
You got to have body cams. We carry body cams. I issue them out to everybody. Training, training, training. Now when I do interviews, first of all, I don't hire anybody from Allied. Yeah. They're untrainable.
Yeah.
They just don't care. They cost me one of my biggest accounts ever as an unarmed account. It was a convention center.
Yeah.
And in a matter of months, they told the owner to go screw off, and they're doing back cartwheels and smoking weed and on there no matter what I did. So anybody comes in with their on their application, they say, Allie, have a nice day. I'm not hiring you. You're untrainable.
Wow.
And but just in my interview alone now, after when we go to the hiring interview, I got five tests they have to take. Right when they're doing their application, they have to take five tests. And it's a checkbox test.
Wow.
And I got the answer sheet right there, and they don't pass it, they're gone. Know what you don't know. So I always say, I'm trying to get this out fast because I want it out there. But we do backgrounds like no one's business now. And we're finding people that are, one, they have PPOs. Two, they're in a corporation that is another security company, and they're in there just to steal your information. I think we touched bases on that once before with somebody we both know in common. I'm not going to mention anything on air.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you more about that after air. But the stuff that he did to my company was unbelievable. So always know what you don't know. I tell people that you better do backgrounds, especially if you've got guys carrying guns. Even if you don't have people carrying guns, just them going around, even unarmed, can hurt people. And what you, like you said earlier, with the defund the police, everybody's looking for the lawsuit. Everybody's looking. There's always an attorney somewhere around the corner lurking. I got sued once because my guy called 911 because some guy committed suicide on the freeway. Yeah. And I lost a case.
Yeah.
How do I lose a case? We had nothing to do with it. We called 911 just because my name was on the police report.
Yeah.
So that's policy you have to put together. So if anybody that's thinking about opening a security company, train, know what you don't know, learn it, give testing all the time, and be willing. You have to train all the time, whether you have to pay the four. It's cheaper to pay the 4 hours of training every 3 months than it is to pay an attorney to just to get to a deposition is $50,000. I go, so train. It's well worth it. And it keeps the officers engaged in what they're doing. And now with Vision Insight, it's a great tool. And when I finally got rid of SilverTrack after you sold the company, they're picking it apart. It's not when you had it. It was such a great tool. But now Vision Insight's becoming the better tool. And I love it because I can train. I can put training videos together for them to watch. It's just it's another tool of know what you don't know. And if I can teach somebody something they don't know, then they're going to be a better officer. And what I like the fact is they know they're being watched now. The whole industry's changing to AI now. It's crazy how it's leaps and bounds. And I think if you read my article about the homeless robots, it's AI evolving every 5 hours.
Yeah.
There's something new coming out there. And if we're not careful, it's going to crash on itself really quick.
We got to get you to robots, so if they shoot them or destroy a robot, you just throw them in the trash and I guess move forward.
Make them homeless.
Let's end it on. Man, I'm sorry. You've definitely gone through a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You and your wife, especially you in the very beginning. So I appreciate you sharing.
Well, it's been almost 40 years since I've been in the business.
Wow.
So it's crazy. Quick note, the first PPO was given out in 1915. You know who the company was?
No.
Pinkerton.
Was it?
Yep, they're still around.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. California gave out their first PPO to Pinkerton. And they're probably one of the best companies out there. And I always give thumbs up to good companies. If they're doing good, I'll give business to good companies. Yeah, I'm not in this area, but call this company. They're worth it.
Yeah.
And there's only two companies that I know offhand
that
I'll even trust to even send them business that way.
Yeah.
But I appreciate it.
Yeah. Appreciate you sharing. My God, I got PTSD now.
Yeah. I like I said, I can go on for hours about things that happen. But if I get anything across to anybody who's watching these podcasts is one, switch over right away to Vision Insight. It's going to help you out no matter what. It's just going to improve your business 100-fold. There's certain ways you can use it. There's the way I use it. My managers like it. They don't like being bombarded with a lot of stuff, so we give them a vision of what their property looks like that night. And then after that, anything happens, we do an incident report on it.
Yeah.
And they seem to like that a lot better than clicking every hour on the hour doing the same pictures and the same photos.
Sure.
So you just got to utilize it. If you have any questions, call Chris. He'll walk you through anything.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Great guy. So
I appreciate the plug and appreciate your time. Man, I'm exhausted.
Yeah, it's a long road.
Gosh, you've been through it. You've definitely been through it.
Yeah, from rags to riches. We're in suit right now to do really good this year.
Good.
So it's just, but yet you have to go from the bottom to the top and back to the bottom. And it only takes one officer. So if you feel, and I always check my officers, I always ask how they're doing when I first talk to them on shift. And if they're having a bad moment, I say, why don't we just go home and I'll pay for the night, but I don't want you on post. And he goes, really? I go, yeah, don't worry about pay. I'll pay for the night. Just go home. I'd rather have them happy than go out there and be mad if something happened at home and take it out on somebody else that didn't have nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
I go, and those are the things as owners you got to start watching for. And I hear a lot of people investing. I go, I do invest, but I invest in training.
Yeah.
Because training only makes them better.
Yeah.
And even if they take that skill somewhere else, we have at least five people that work for us are now law enforcement.
Yeah.
Good guys too. And one's actually a fire arson investigator now for San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Really good guy. He's got two canine dogs. He's on the arson for terrorism, all kinds of stuff. Really good guy. And we're good friends. We barbecue together and everything. So
that's great.
Yeah, so invest in training, if I can say anything.
No, good plug. Thank you for your time, buddy.
Comment, like, share, and subscribe.